All right, we're continuing in the book of Romans. We're going to cover today Romans 11, 17 through 24, and I'm just going to get right into it this morning and read the scripture to you here. Romans 11, 17, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, 'Branches were broken off, so that I may be grafted in.' That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For if God has the power to graft them in again, For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back in to their own olive tree?" Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and to worship together, to have fellowship in the church body, a local gathering here like this. Lord, we pray for your guidance and your direction and your blessing on our church family here. We pray that you would turn our hearts to you and that we would want to follow you, Lord, and that, Lord, you would fill us with a passion for your word and for prayer and for the church and evangelism and all those things, Lord, that are so good that you want us to have. And so often, Lord, we're distracted by so many other things. So, Lord, use today as a day to just change our thinking, change our hearts. Lord, just show us if there's any way in us that's offensive to you that needs to be changed, and make us more like Jesus. We pray for that. Thank you so much. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So as we've been going through Romans, we've been talking about a lot of things that have to do with the Jews or Israelites and the church and Christianity and kind of how the two fit together. And you've had different people in Rome, where this was written to, that had different ideas that were being addressed here, that were being spoken of. And I think that basically he's laying some things out to help people in Rome who are Christians know how to conduct themselves and know how to conduct themselves towards Jews or people even that are Christian that are still holding on a lot to their Judaism. And he lays down a lot of really important doctrine. That's really important teaching for us, you know, as Christians that have really helped us understand things like salvation. And like one of the essential things that we've looked at is how salvation is exclusively through faith in Christ. It's not through adherence to the law. It's not through being born a particular race. It's through having faith in Christ. We've spent a great deal of time talking about how any of us coming to faith in Christ, that comes through God moving in our hearts, through God's work in our hearts that happens before we even think about it, that God's working in our hearts, drawing us to himself. And then through that, we have that faith in Christ. But there was this kind of underlying question that the people had, or maybe it was an attitude that they had that Paul is addressing here to the church, to the Christians, that there was a little bit of a proudness or arrogance towards the Israelites, towards those who were Jewish, because the thought was, well, they have fallen in their rebelliousness, their continual rebelliousness. They have fallen. God has judged them. God has written them off. God has done with them. And now it's us, and God is working through us. And when you read this and you see this, there must have been some kind of an attitude like that. And he's been addressing that. He talked about it last week. He said that they didn't fall as to be knocked out, but they stumbled so that they're going to get back up at some point. It might not be every last person that's going to get back up, but right now, as a whole, Israel's fallen, and there was a point to that. They fell, and when they fell, the Gentiles were able to come in, and that's you and me for the most of us here. we were able to come in. God used that to spread the faith to non-Jews. And it's a good thing for us in that way, but at the same time, we can't look at it and become prideful and arrogant and think it's just about us. He said they fell, but he's beginning to give more and more. This is playing out as we look at this, an explanation about how they've fallen, but they're going to get back up. There's going to be some kind of restoration that God's going to do with Israel. Now, today would be probably one of those kind of sermons is really important, really significant understanding here, but like maybe not one of those ones that's so simple. Like, you know, if you think about it like this, I go to church, I just want to leave with three or four applications for myself and kind of say, what does this have to do with me? It does have a lot to do with you, and there'll be a lot of applications, but some of this is really just to understand God and what God's doing in people, and like what God's doing in Israel. That's the bigger picture here. There was one time when John Piper preached about Isaiah 6, and he said that he preached and he didn't have one application in the sermon. He preached a sermon without any applications, and he thought, this is weird, I preached a sermon without any applications, but it was just all about God and God's glory. And he didn't know how he felt about that, but at some point somebody had come up to him and said, that was the most helpful sermon to me, to be able to see God's glory. And so sometimes when you approach the Bible, it's like that. You don't want to just approach it like, hey, this is just a self-help book. You know, I just want to, every day I just want to go and get a little nugget, you know, for myself and take it away. We want to learn about God and what God's doing and what God has done. So this has a lot to do with Israel, what God's going to do in Israel. But it has to do with us too, and it has to do with us not having that prideful, arrogant attitude. But notice the whole picture, and before we're going to dig into it verse by verse, but let's just kind of recap the whole picture, what we're going to see. Two types of olive trees. The olive tree was really common in this area of the world, very common, very useful, very important tree, and a very big and vibrant growing tree. But there were two types that were talked about. One was a cultivated tree that's cared for, that's healthy, that's fruit-bearing tree, and the other one is a wild tree, a wild olive tree that's not cared for, that probably because it's not cared for, on its own wouldn't bear fruit the way that the cultivated tree would bear fruit. So two types of olive trees and four different types of branches. They don't say four different types of branches, but I say four different types of branches as I break it down and look at it. There were the natural branches that remained in the cultivated olive tree. There were the natural branches that were removed from the olive tree. There were the wild branches that were grafted into the cultivated olive tree, and there were the wild branches that just remained wild. That's how I get four as I look at that. So these first two verses in this say, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. So there you see the two different types of trees and the four different types of branches. But he's writing to, let me ask you, he's writing these words to a Jewish or a Gentile audience as he speaks right here. Gentile. And he has said that before, shortly before this, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I speak to you. And he's mentioning this. He says, but if some of the branches were broken off, now in that case, the branches that he's talking about are the Israelites, or some of the Israelites. This tree, this picture of this tree, we should ask, you know, what is the tree? What does the tree represent? And a very simple answer might be that the tree represents Israel. I think other people might answer this and say the tree represents God's promises to Israel. Ultimately, I think you could say that the tree represents God's people. God's people. And you've got the tree in its natural state. In its natural state, it definitely is conveying that this is Israel. But you have the idea that these branches are removed. He says, but if some of the branches were broken off, so God made these promises to Israel, and these promises would stand, But because of Israel's disobedience and their judgment, some of the branches of that tree were broken off and cast off. And don't get to continue in the nourishment of the tree, of the olive tree, and of the promises of God. And so he's acknowledged that because Israel has fallen away, the Gentiles have come in. He says, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others. So he's speaking to the Gentiles. He says, you are like a wild olive shoot. So you're like a little baby branch growing on a wild olive tree. You were taken off that tree, and you were put into the cultivated tree. Now keep in mind, the purpose of the cultivated tree is to do what? I think I heard it. To bear fruit. So why is a tree removed, or branch removed? Because a branch is removed because it's not a fruit-bearing branch. So that branch is taken off. So another young branch, is or shoot it's called here, which kind of lets you see that it's like a little young thing that's attached. It gets put on, and there's a whole science behind this, you know, that really happens, it really works. But you have to put it on in just the right way. And when that happens in just the right way, then that shoot, that other branch, is nourished by the root. It's nourished by the actual olive tree, and then it'll begin to grow, and it will bear fruit. And so that's what's described here. It says, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. So we, as Christians, we were grafted into this tree, which is the promises of Israel, the people of Israel. This is God's people. We, as people who were not part of that, we were not part of that at all. We didn't have access to God in that way. Through Christ, we were brought in, and that's what the church is. The church is those branches that are brought in and merged in with Israel, or grafted in with Israel. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. And he says, if you are, and you could be, and he was writing this because people were, he says, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. So what does the root represent? What do you think the root represents? I think when you look at like all the different pictures of this, you know, you see it has to really ultimately be tied back to God, because he's the one that's the real nourishment and the real root. In here you have branches kind of being described as the people. Some have described this as the promises of God, or what God's doing, the nourishment of God, what God's supplying. I like how you said that, Ricky. It's like where the growth comes from, you know, in the parable of the vine and the branches, as Jesus describes it. He says that he's the vine, you know, we're the branches. Apart from me, you could do nothing. You know, it comes back to that. But basically, though, as he's also describing it, I think there's a sense where he's saying that as a Christian, you have to actually know and understand that what we have in our faith came about through Israel, and what God did through Israel and his promises through Israel. And in some way that there and that, you are connected through what the prophets did, to what God did in the old covenant, in those ways. So there's that. You are being built on those things and being built up in those things. And you grow and you share in the nourishment of God that God brought through all that he's done. So it doesn't make sense for anyone who's a Christian to have an arrogant attitude toward Israel, or to Israelites, or even to Judaism, but actually instead we should have a hope that they would believe in Christ. Amen? And he says, if you are, you need to remind yourself that it's not you that support the root, that the root supports you. So I think there is a notion there that he's saying is that it's not Israel that's joined to you, you are joined to Israel. And you were joined to the promises that I made to Israel, and you were joined to the blessings that I gave to Israel. When Israel was really rebellious and fell, I didn't cut down the whole tree. Like God says, he didn't cut down the whole tree. That's the picture he's given. He did not remove the whole tree and plant a new one. The tree stayed, and it stayed there, but he cultivated the tree. He took off a lot of the branches from the tree, but some branches remain there. Now, I think about this for us. Now, here's a little bit of, a personal application. As we're these wild olive shoots. Now, how many of you are wild? Kind of some wild people in here. Okay, Rob, I know you're wild, buddy. Okay, thank you for raising your hand and admitting that. This is church, so telling the truth is good. You know, I'm wild, okay? Wild. I'm not saying that as a good thing. As you think about it, what I mean by this is like, you know, that's just who we are without Christ. Bunch of wild people, you know, we're not the good people here. All the people, these are just really where all the real nice people are. We're all the good. The Bible's describing us as this wild tree that's just growing. And that's really where we were. Now, the thing is, we had to be removed from that wild tree and put on the other tree. Amen? And so I look at that and I think about that, and something that hit me with this is we have to be removed from the world. And we have to be put on that tree of God. And that's what God does for us. Now, some part of this is, I'm going to say, is can be a little bit confusing if you just kind of like look at this as just like, hey, this is just like individuals and we're talking about salvation, these things. I think in some sense to this, it's talking about the church as a whole. The church as a whole, joining as the people of God. And when we do that, this is going to be important later on when we think about us, you know, the discussion of us being taken off the tree. Us being taken off the tree. But we have to leave the world and we have to be joined with God's people. And we do that as a church. We do that. But we really, really have to do that individually. We have to have that true conversion individually to be really joined with God. All right? But we need to not be arrogant about it. And then he goes on, he talks about it, says, if you are arrogant, then you will say the branches were broken off so I might be grafted in. And he says, that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. So you have the two things that we're warned against there, being arrogant and being prideful. So don't become prideful. And I think that I shared this last week, you know, when we're reading so many times in the Old Testament, we were looking at it and be like, man, these people are so stupid. Why don't they just trust God and believe God and follow God? And why do they keep turning to this idolatry? We were going over some things in the Ezekiel class this morning, and you had all these Israelites, they were worshiping these other gods. This other god in particular that we talked about today had to do with fertility and had to do with the harvest and the crops. And so I had this picture of them, you know, very much being like, well, what they really want is a good harvest. They want to have all their needs met. And so they're like, well, maybe like, well, if we pray a little bit to our God and then we pray a little bit to this God and a little bit to that God and we do all these things, that then maybe we'll have a really good harvest. And that's the way that they approached it. So it was very much about just trying to achieve what they wanted to achieve. They wanted to get this, and they thought they can just put their faith in all these different places. But that's not what faith in God looks like. Amen. Faith in God doesn't look that way. It's not like a lucky charm. It's not like a rabbit's foot or a lucky penny or something that you carry with you, and you hope if you do this, you're going to get these results that you want. It's a faith and a belief in God and His promises and a surrender to Him. And so Israel, it says, was broken off because of their unbelief. It says that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. So all this idolatry and things that they were doing, if they had faith, if they really had true faith in God, they wouldn't have done those things. They were doing those things out of a lack of faith. And they took what faith they had and they placed it other places. But that's not what it looks like to have faith in God. He says, but you stand fast through faith. So that's what we need to do. We need to stand fast in faith. And even if nobody else around us is, even if the rest of the world is crumbling and nobody else is following Christ, or nobody in your family is following Christ, and nobody around you, if you're the last person that this scripture is calling you and all of scripture is calling you to stand fast in your faith and don't give up on it and don't let it go. And at the same time, don't become prideful about who you are, thinking, hey, I'm the only one who believes in the Lord. I'm the one who... But continue to be humble and continue to fear the Lord. He says, for if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. So basically he says, God had this tree. He said, you know, he looked at this tree, he said, this tree, we have to look at this tree, these branches, are they producing fruit? Are they producing fruit because they have faith, because they're connected to the root? And if they're not, they're removed. That was disobedient, unfaithful Israelites. That's who was taken off the tree. And he says, you, and this is where I think it's helpful to think of it as the church, just as a church as a whole, like the church visible as you look at it. He says, this is like a warning for the whole church, that you better not sit there and think of yourself in a prideful, arrogant way, because if God looked at the Israelites and said, hey, they're not fruitful, they don't have faith, I'm going to remove them from the tree, God will remove you from the tree. All right, now I, in this church, and we do not believe a person could lose their salvation. That God doesn't look at it and like, he doesn't save someone and say, okay, now I'm putting you in the tree, you're part of the tree, okay, and I'm going to say, are you bearing fruit? And you're kind of bearing fruit for a while, but then a time comes, you're not bearing fruit, and God lops you off the tree. We don't believe that that Bible teaches that at all. Okay, so for example, like John 10:27-29 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. What we stand on and we believe and we teach here is this idea that eternal life means just what it says. Eternal life is not something that you can turn on and you can turn off. Can't turn it on or you can't turn it off. No one can take you out of the Father's hands when you're in the Father's hands. And that includes you. And you wouldn't want to, because God's Holy Spirit indwells you and he's made a new creation of you, and the old is gone and the new has come. Amen? So you look at these verses. If you look at them in a certain way, you could think, well, this is saying that a person could lose their salvation. But you got to harmonize that with the rest of the scripture. And if you don't, if you believe that and you take that in certain places, then you got to go and explain those other verses. Okay? And there are Christians that believe that, that they would take that view. But that is not what we believe here, what we would teach here. And I don't think that's what the Bible says. And that's why we don't teach that or believe that here. But the message, again, like for the church and for us as a whole, is that remaining in the faith and continuing to have faith is not an optional component of Christianity, right? Christianity and conversion is not like a policy that you take out through State Farm, right? You got it and you're okay now, and then you don't need to have that faith. You must continue in faith if you are truly converted in Christ. But this is where I'd say, like, the warning is just to the church as a whole. You know, like, we have this idea, there's the church visible and there's the church invisible. The church invisible is those who really, truly, absolutely are converted. They're new creations in Christ. You can't exactly see who they are, but there's a whole gathering of the church. And the thing about the gathering of the church as a whole, and the warning to the people is said, look, just like I said to Israel, you were putting a lot of confidence in the fact that you were an Israelite. But yet you were not really circumcised in the heart. To the people who gather as the church, look, you might be placing a lot of confidence in the fact that you consider yourself a Christian, but you really need to have faith. And if God says he looked at Israelites and he said that he took the tree and he removed the branches, he says he will remove these branches too. And this tree must bear fruit, and it will bear fruit. And so I think that this is a reminder to us who are in Christ that we need to continue in faithfulness all of our lives, not to earn something, but that's what our call is to be, and that's what God will do in us if we're genuinely saved. Okay, and it's also, again, it's that thing, it's saying, hey, look, if you are just putting your confidence in the fact that you're part of a church That's not enough. You really need to have a relationship with Christ. You really need to have faith in Christ. God really needs to save you. You really need to be converted, or else you're just like one of those branches that's removed. He says, note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. And I've kind of spoken to this already as you look at it. It says, notice first God's kindness and severity. God is so kind and so good. And this is the God that we like to think about. I mean, both these are the same God, but this is what we like to think about. Remember how kind God is, how loving he is. But it says that he's also severe. He's kind towards those who love him and believe in him. He's severe towards those who don't. And casting them off and breaking the branches off, removing them and letting them go. He says, notice the kindness and severity of God. And then he says, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. So remember, again, say it again, perseverance in the faith is not an optional component of Christianity. It's a part of a relationship with God. It's a part of the conversion. It's part of being saved. And then he reminds, he says, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. The they are the branches that have been broken off, speaking about the Israelites. They've been removed from the tree. But he says if they repent, if they turn back to him, if they come to faith, God has the power to take those branches. Who are the branches again? Israelites who have not believed and been faithful. He has the power to graft them back into the tree, to bring them back into the tree. But they must not continue in their unbelief. They must believe. Who must they believe in? Jesus. They must believe in Jesus. And so that returning to God is possible. And God has the power to bring them in again, and it comes through Christ. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back in to their own olive tree? So it would be fitting for there to be a coming to Christ of many Israelites, many of these branches that have been broken off, to come back to Christ. It'd be really fitting for God to put them back on the tree. And if God is able to do that for you, he can do it for them. Amen? Yeah. All right, so it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward as we look at it. But let me just kind of go through like a little bit of a kind of a recap and share some thoughts from this as we do. Again, the cultivated olive tree in its natural state represents Israel. It's a natural state of the cultivated olive tree. Now, a cultivated olive tree, the idea is you take it in its natural state, but then you actually work on it so that it will produce fruit and it'll be what you want it to be. Who's the one doing the cultivating, by the way? God, right? God is the one who cultivates the tree. The wild olive tree, that represents the Gentiles. And the wild olive tree branches grafted in represent Gentile believers. So if you've come to faith in Christ and been born again, you've been grafted into that tree. You've been made a part of that tree. In my life, when I was younger, I had lived with a certain amount of confusion. Okay, what am I? Who are my people? You know, I grew up with all these people and I felt like I was an army brat. And I grew up on army bases in different places. Lots of different people, lots of different groups of people. And I felt like people had their people, right? And for those of you who don't know, my dad is part Nicaraguan. He was born on the Panama Canal. His dad is a soldier. His mom is a Nicaraguan woman that was quite young. They were married for a short time. They divorced. So I look at my dad. He looks a certain way. I look at myself. I see a certain way. But I wouldn't see like a lot of people that I felt like were just like me around. And I didn't really have like a group of people that I felt like I related to. So I'd always struggle with that a lot when I was younger, especially growing up around the army bases. And you had different people that took so much pride. Oh, you know, we're this or we're that, you know. And I always thought, man, I kind of would like that. You know, I would like to understand that. You know, I try to figure out, you know, where I fit, until later on in life, I realized that where I fit was with the people of God. With the people of God. It didn't matter what someone's skin color was or hair looked like or what culture they were from or anything like that. What mattered was that they loved Jesus. And so when we become these branches that are grafted into this tree, and we read the Old Testament and we look at those things, those are our people that are being talked about. We're part of them. We go back and we read all those things in the Old Testament. That's about our people. That's who we are. All right? And so, you know, that's a great blessing. So we become part of that as believers. The natural broken off branches, again, that's the unbelieving Israelites. And the cultivated, this is what's exciting, the cultivated olive tree with the grafted branches, which represent the believing Gentiles, joined together with the Jews, this is the people of God. Amen. All the people of God. So it's very simple. As being part of the people of God, we shouldn't be arrogant. We shouldn't be prideful towards anyone. I think we can apply that towards non-believers in the world today. We shouldn't be prideful or arrogant towards them. And we should pray and we should hope that they would turn to Christ. God is going to graft some of those people into the tree. God is going to graft some of those unbelieving Israelites into the tree. Now, a couple things on this I think are important that this is very helpful for. Does the church replace Israel? No. Clearly it doesn't, right? It doesn't replace Israel. Some people take that theology and they say, well, you know what? Israel stumbled because of their sin. God's done with them. So he brought this new people together. This new people is the church. And that's who the church is. The church replaces Israel. So God pours all his promises on the church. And that's off. That's off as you look at the picture, because the same tree continues to be there. God's just removed some from the tree and then he's brought others into the tree. So the church doesn't replace Israel. Rather, the church is grafted into Israel, into true Israel. So you have that. How many trees do you have? You have two trees. You have many wild trees, you might think of it. But the you have this one tree that's being talked about. This one tree. Now, how about this? Are there two separate peoples of God with separate ways to be saved? Yeah, no, there's not. And the reason why I mention these things, these are things that people have taught in Christianity. So, if you come from a dispensational background, in an ultra-dispensational, early dispensationalism taught that there were two separate peoples of God with two separate ways to be saved. Now, dispensationalists have moved away from that and adjusted that, and that's not what dispensationalists most believe. There probably are some that still believe that. But there are not two separate peoples of God. The idea is that there are two separate branches. There are two types of branches. There are different backgrounds that people come from. But God joins them together into one tree. So the church doesn't replace Israel, but at the same time, there's not two trees. There's one tree in the end of God's people. So God has one group of people. Now, something that this doesn't really address, but is kind of thought-provoking, is what about the people who were God's people before Israel? Are they part of that tree? Yeah, I mean, I believe very much that they are, but this picture was given to explain kind of something from the point of Israel and the church and how they fit together. And basically, I think God has always had people that are his people all along. And God's been joining people to his people. Remember, one of the examples was Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Now, I lean towards that's the pre-incarnate Christ. But, you know, just as you look at it, as he breaks it down, he says, you know, Levi was giving offering. He was giving a tithe to Melchizedek. And there were people that preceded the Israelites before. Think of Enoch. What did Enoch do? He walked with God, and then what happened to him? He was no more. Is he part of God's people? You know, absolutely, right? He's part of that. You know, so I think of it like that. I think this is kind of a picture at this particular point, but it's even bigger than Israel. It's God's people. And I think also it's pretty clear in Scripture that there's only one way to be saved. And so if you are an Israelite, you were saved and you continued and you had that faith because you believed in God and you believed in His promises and you were looking forward to the Messiah. And many rejected the Messiah. And if you were like this branch that's broken off, that's going to be regrafted back in, it's going to be by believing in God's promises through Christ and what He did. I have some other verses that are really good complements to these in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in 11, that describe this and how God has joined us together to make one people. He says, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That describes what it's like to be the wild olive tree and to not have a relationship with God, to not be part of His people, and to not really have that hope. He says, this was the state of you Gentiles at one point in time. You know, he says, remember that. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two." So who are the two men? Jews and Gentiles. He says He's abolished the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So yeah, there was hostility between Jews and Gentiles. And there is this idea of difference, but God says He broke that all down. How did He do it? He did it through the cross. And through Jesus and what Jesus did at the cross, there is one way to be reconciled to God. And that's through what He did at the cross. And so through that, He took what was separated and what was divided and He made one. He made one new man. And it says, "And He came and He preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Through Him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple of the Lord." So we're described as many things, you know, as a body, as a building, as a household, as a people, as a tree, but we're brought together, we're joined together. And it's lastly, it says, into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And so I think that's good to remember and understand. You know, sometimes, you know, and you think about what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we as believers are being joined together with faithful Israel to be a people of God. And no one's going to be joined together or part of that tree apart from Christ. Amen. Any branch that has been broken off that needs to be grafted, it has to come through Christ. And so rather than being arrogant or something like that, again, our heart and our hope should be for the lost, but we should never move off that fact that everyone that's going to come has to come through Christ. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for this time in Your Word. Lord, I pray that if we take anything away from this, Lord, that we leave with the real humility
knowing, Lord, that this is something that you've done for us and you've done in us, Lord. Also, use this to cause us to examine our faith as to whether or not that we are really in you, Lord. Draw us close to you. Give us faithful, believing hearts to walk with you. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.